Shalom and welcome. Hopefully you can hear this. Well, pretty sure you can. If not, then I guess that's life. It is September 20th and 2 days Rosh Hashanah. And we're here in Baltimore, Maryland. A little chilly this evening. 2 nights before Rosh Hashanah, Thursday night and Friday night, Jewish New Year. We have a very busy schedule tonight. A lot of stuff going on. We have a history lesson. We have music. We have a poem by a coworker, a coworker, a friend of mine, Kelly Lyons, here at Johns Hopkins, whose daughter. A very interesting poem together. We'll get to that a little bit later. We have some good wishes. We have some shout-outs. A lot of things going on. It's been a very busy week. I was in New York, start of the week, for the weekend, for the Schoenfeld Bar Mitzvah, Menachem, Mazel Tov Menachem. And it's been a busy week because 3 days this week, I got to play some sports. Usually do a little running, some weightlifting, maybe one game, basketball or softball. Sunday, I actually got to play football in Staten Island. Monday evening, got to play softball in D.C., as well as Tuesday night. And when I brought my stuff to the gym this morning, I was not able to make a go of it. So, looks like my capacity is 3 times playing sports in a week. I think that's my my watermark. Before we get into the main part of it, I want to try to speak a little faster. Some of the criticism I've been getting, Mr. Tepfer, particularly you, is I'm speaking a little too slowly. So, we try to pick up the pace a bit. This way people do not fall asleep. Speaking about falling asleep, actually an interesting story. About a week and a half ago, my sister-in-law, Sarah Bela Axelrod, said that she came into her house in Israel and heard my voice. And she looked around, did not see me, I was in Baltimore, but she heard my voice, and my brother David was sleeping. So, looks like my brother, who was listening at some point, fell asleep. So, I guess I was speaking too slowly, or else my brother was very tired that particular evening. So, I'm going to try to keep speaking a little faster. Of course, I may just get a couple of emails saying, please speak slower, because now we can't sleep during your podcast. So, we'll see which people complain more, the people who want me to speak fast or the people who want me to speak slow. On a serious note, I'd like to say a Kapitel of Tehillim, one of the paragraphs of Psalms by David, for a young boy, Tinuk Ben Anat. Those people who live in Staten Island know who we're talking about, family, a friend of mine, who just had a baby boy, and there some medical issues, they had surgery. So, let's just say Tehillim. So, if you can please say it along with me, or just have this name, Tinuk Ben Anat, in your tefillos. Shemalos, Esa inai el harim mi'ayin yivo ezri. Ezri mi'im adonai osei shemayim va'aretz. I tain lamot raglecha, al yinum shamrecha. Hine lunum lo yishon shamer Yisrael, adonai shamrecha, adonai tzicha, yadimnecha, yam shem shlakeka, verech balela, adonai yishmach mikara, yishmar es nafshecha, adonai yishmar tzeis chviecha, meata, viad olam. Hopefully, with Hashem's help and our tefilos, Tinuk ben Anat will have our four shalema, and we'll hear some good news. Hopefully we'll have some good news on this podcast very shortly about this young boy who's holding on. Okay, moving right along. Let's go right into our history lesson. Okay, last week we spoke about Antigonus of Socho. Today we're going to talk about Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan. Now, this part in Jewish history. They were called Zugim, pairs. And there were five pairs that we're going to talk about. This, again, is the second base of Hamikdash, the beginning of the second base of Hamikdash, on a downward slide, if you will. Shimon HaTzadik, 40 years. Nisim, great miracles happen in the base of Hamikdash, the Holy Temple. And this is now a slide's going to happen as we see that the Jewish people are going to start following other cultures, other religions. Now, there were five pairs. We'll talk about all five of them. We just mentioned Yossi ben Yoezer of Treda, Yossi ben Yochanan of Yerushalayim, Yeshua ben Prachya, Nita Arbela, Yehuda ben Tabai, Shum ben Shetach, Shemai Natalian, and the fifth and last one, Hillel and Shammai. Now, there were other times and period where there were dual leadership. For example, when the second base of Hamikdash, we had Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah. Before, right when we came back from Babel, you had Zerubbabel and Yeshua the Kohen Gadol. We have later Ezra and Nehemiah. We did have some pairs leading. We went away from it, and now we're coming back. So there are going to be five generations where there were pairs. And we see an interesting case, an interesting Shiloh question about the placing of the hands on a karbon on Shabbos or on Sabbath or Yom Tov on the holidays. We see that there was a question whether we should have a person, whether it's required to put your hands on the animal. When a animal is slaughtered in the temple, in the base of Mikdash, the owner was to place his hands on the head, on the horns of the animal, and confess his sins, hopefully to get an atonement, and the sacrifice is brought, and the owner gets a piece, the Kohen gets a piece. Question is this an avoda? Is it necessary? Is it not necessary? And the problem was, well, it's difficult for Jews outside of Israel to come all the way to Yerushalayim, to go all the way to Jerusalem to bring the sacrifice. So, if you do not require the owner to put his hands on it, and the person can say, you know what, let me just send the cow, I don't know, express mail, let me send the cow, let me send some money, and so and a messenger will do it for me, and we don't make the owner lean the hands. They were afraid that this would cause the Jews to say, you know what, instead of just doing this whole thing of Jerusalem, we're going to make our own altars and our own temples outside of Israel, outside of Jerusalem. And so this led to the problem, well, not the problem, this led to Yossi ben Yoezer and Yossi ben Yochanan to require that the owners still, it's a requirement that they want to bring a sacrifice, they have to put their own hands and they can't get a messenger to do this. There were other decrees that were introduced. They declared that outside Israel, outside Eretz Israel, no Jew should live, and if you live outside, you're impure. And when you want to go to Israel, to Eretz Israel, you would have to go to the mikvah to cleanse yourself in a ritual bath. There's a saying that goes, that's credited to Yossi ben Yoezer in Pirkei Avot, Ethics of the Fathers, that says that your house should be a place of meeting for the wise, and you should be covered with the dust of their feet and drink their words. And, well, very nice, be close to the tzaddikim, to the elders, but it goes a little bit deeper than that when you look at what was going on at the time. At the time that Yossi ben Yoezer lived, there was rules and laws that were aimed to have people, Jewish people, not want to have the elders and scholars in their house. And the decree was, anyone who is caught turning your house into a place of study, you risk your life, imprisonment, or be put to death. So he actually said this, he wasn't saying this in a vacuum, but this is trying to counter that, to encourage people So you know what? Even though there are decrees that we should not get together and not study Torah, not study the Bible, we really should invite them over and try to, you know, you should really risk getting caught, because it's very important to have ourselves surrounded by Torah. Yoshi ben Yochanan, who says your house should be opened, the poor should treat your house like their house, and don't talk too much with women, not even your own wife. Again, what is this referring to? We know that the Greeks worship goddesses, and Yossi ben Yochanan feared that people are going to treat women like a deity, and he tried to separate as best he could men from women to keep that from happening. We don't know how Yossi ben Yochanan died, but Yossi ben Yoezer, we do know that he died at the hands of the Greek soldiers. And it's interesting to look at the first, or actually last, excuse me, the last words, which talks about his special spirit, Yossi ben Yoezer. The Kohen at the time, Alkimos, who was a wicked Kohen Gadol, was related to Yossi ben Yoezer. And to try to get himself in favor with the rulers, he ordered the destruction of all the tzaddikim, all the pious Jews who refused to submit to the Greek religion. And at his behest, 60 Jews were caught and sentenced to death, among those his relative Yossi ben Yoezer. And as these 60 Jews were being led to be killed, Alkimos went to his relative and said, "Please, submit to the government, tell them that you will follow the Greek government, the Greek gods, and you'll be saved. I have a lot of money, I have a lot of honor that I get because I listen to the government. Look at you. You don't listen to the government, you listen to Hashem, to God, and look what trouble is happening to you. You're going to die like a criminal." And Yossi ben Ezra answered, "If those who anger God live like you do, look how good I am going to live. In the next world, those people who do what God wants." And Alkimos said, "Well, can you show me another person who obeyed God's will more than you did?" And to which Yossi said, "Well, if those who do God's will end like I do, look at someone like you, what end you're going to have by doing not what God wants." And this actually caused an impression on Alkimos, the priest. And some say, the Medrash says he committed suicide. Others says he died of a stroke. Now, just to turn things over, to end things in a minute or two, let's take a look at the historical significance here. This is a few hundred years, like 300 BCE. It's before the Maccabees. And this is a time when, again, Egypt and Syria were warring. And it was a time when there's a lot of turmoil, battles going on, and a time when Jewish people started to follow the customs of the Greeks. And the people, well, you know what, let's assimilate with the Greek culture, the Greek nation, and the first things that were popular were the athletics and the tournaments, and Jews used to try to, it went to gymnastics and gymnasiums, which isn't a big problem. We know we play softball and baseball these days. The problem was they did it in the nude, without clothing, and the Jewish men that were doing this, they were ashamed of their own bris, the circumcision, and they would try to graft the foreskins so they should not be recognized as Jews. We also see that there was starting to be a breakup in society, where you had one side, the friends of the Greeks, those people, the richer people, people that wanted to modify the service in the base of Migdash to kind of resemble the worship of the Greek gods. And the other side, we see a group that were friends of, well, the pious people, if you will. And this was starting to cause a breakup, if you will, in society. So, Okay. Very good. Now, we're going to go to the music portion of the program. Little song, a short Nigun tune by Matas Yahoo. Enjoy. Yahoo with the tune called Short Nigun. Okay. Interesting. Reggae meets Hasidish music. Fantastic. Well, we have a poem. Let me just set it up a bit for you. It's a woman I work with at Johns Hopkins. Her name is Kelly Lyons. And she actually is in cahoots with me, I'll be honest with you. I beg your pardon. She's where? Because we fooled everyone for a few months. They're, you know, hiring me to do documentation, but it's really the people that I work with that kind of, I don't know, drive the content and what information gets put into the courses, and I'm just more or less, you know, coordinating and putting it together. So I really do owe a lot of gratitude to my coworkers, especially Kelly. Now, speaking about Kelly, she mentioned a while back that her daughter, her oldest daughter, Sarah, is in high school, and she's very bright. She reads, does a lot of volunteer work. She's working, taking college credit courses in high school already, and she's a poet. And, oh, very interesting. So, she actually wrote a poem about 9/11, and I thought it was quite good. Once I actually recorded it, my own voice. Sorry about that, folks. But I'm going to read it for you, and I'm going to tell you exactly what I kind of get out from it. Without further ado, September 11th by Sarah Lyons. September 11th by Sarah Lyons. The images would eventually gain meaning. Ashen clouds envelop the disappearing sky, as if twin giants were taking it down with stones. 10 years old at the time, I didn't realize the insanity erupting around me. The news crossed the airwaves, Americans numb, speechless from the screams. In New York, Washington, and the Pennsylvania sky, intruders knocked chaos into our democracy, hoping to shatter our freedom with a killing hand. Innocent people buried alive. Imagine the mass of mourners. In the barren Middle East, thinking that terror would ruin us when it would only bring us closer. I remember seeing the footage years later and thinking how innocent victims were gasping poison air while foreign bodies cheered for victory. Well, we're back. Pretty good, I think. Pretty good. What I read from this, I lived in New York at the time, and one of the images that really hit home and still I can't get out of my head is the fact how in the Palestinian territories, how the Arabs were cheering and giving out candy. Now, giving out candy doesn't sound that significant to us here in Baltimore, the United States. You know, candy's candy. In Israel, or Middle East, not every day that, you know, kids see a lot of toys and a lot of Nintendos or Game Boys. So, in Israel, candy's actually I don't know, important, but it means a lot more. Candy is just more than just a piece of candy. Candy is huge. They have candy at different parties, and they throw it at the Kotel, at the Western Wall. So when the Arabs, when they're going around, the police and the soldiers going around, the militia going around with candy, it's making a huge statement that to equate that this is a great victory, a great thing that happened to the great United States. This speaks volumes. They don't even show this anymore on TV. They show this for a couple of days. They didn't want to offend any of the Arabs or Muslims in the United States, so they don't show this footage anymore on TV. But this is something that you forget about, and whenever you see some news on TV where the Arabs want this, they want peace, they don't want to hurt the Jew, well, it's a bunch of garbage. Because as we all saw, 9/11, how they were cheering, we all know that the recent elections a couple years ago, predominantly the Arabs voted for Hamas. They voted for terror. They wanted to continue the terror. So there's no stoppage. So when I hear that, how we had people, our fellow Americans, Jewish people, people of all faiths and races, who innocent people who died in 9/11, choked to death with the poison gas, jumped out the windows, some died instantly by the impact of the airplanes, and across the globe, 6,000 miles, people were cheering how this was the best thing that happened to them. Some well wishes before we sign off. Being Rosh Hashanah, the new year, we want to, we want to daven and pray to God that we should really have a good year. We really need a good year, whether it's people in Israel, Jewish people in Israel, Jewish people in the United States, or people all over the world, Jewish or not. We all need a big year. We really need a good year. We just had recent war. We currently have nuclear threat in Iran. The United States was called, Bush was called the Great Evil, and how, we have our leader, the leader, Tony Blair in England, who's going down because he supports the war in Iraq and is a big supporter of Israel. George Bush and the Republicans, they're going down popularity because, again, they're support of Iraq and their support of Israel. So around the world, not just the United States and Israel, but we see Jews that are being persecuted in France, this pressure in England, all over the world. And people really need help, and we have to pray to God, pray to Hashem, the next couple of days and throughout. And we have to believe that with enough tshuva, with enough prayer and repentance, that we could really turn the evil decrees into a good decree. We have to pray and daven people that don't have parnasa, whether it's people don't have livelihood, whether it's in Israel or whether it's the United States or Staten Island, where I know some people that really don't have livelihood, and we have to daven for them. We mentioned earlier Tinuk Ben Anat, who needs a huge refuah shlema, who really needs the mercy of Hashem, that should give the wherewithal to the doctors and help this boy pull through. And like I mentioned once before, that we have to keep in mind what I heard from Rabbi Spiro, that we have to always know, as Jews, that it's not the other countries that are pulling the strings, but it's Hashem. And while we can't just close our eyes and only concentrate inward, we do have to turn our eyes to the heavens, to Shemayim, and know that if we were better Jews, and if we did what God wanted us to do, do mitzvos, be nicer to each other, do more chesed, learn Torah, then we wouldn't have these problems, whether it's from Lebanon, Hezbollah, Hamas, and we'd be better off. That's more or less that. Just another few shout-outs, or just a few shout-outs. Tova Scheinemann, who literally seconds after this podcast goes live, I get a couple of comments back. It was horrible. Stinks. I want to go to Israel. Mati won't let me. Shout-out to Kelly Lyons, who is listening and is wondering what are these Jewish things that are this guy's talking about. Tilly Tepfer, who mentioned I should speak faster. Hope I spoke fast enough for you, Tilly. And but he did compliment me that he did learn some interesting things on the history part. Shout out to Yossi Axelrod, my brother, youngest brother, who I saw in Staten Island last week. He was on his way to his niece's birthday party, and who mentioned that he only has time and only read the first podcast, which, you know, was not my best work. Not that this is. Well, maybe this is. And that's more or less that. So, thanks for listening. Thanks for devoting almost 30 minutes of your busy and important day to the podcast. Hope you have a Shana Tova, a Happy New Year. It should be a sweet year. It should be a year filled with health and happiness and parnasa for livelihood for all. And we should have peace and blessings all over the world for Jewish people, non-Jewish people, and we should have peace, continued peace, God willing, in Israel. Thank you. Shana Tova. Happy New Year.